One Page Tree Department, 2, San Francisco, California. I would do anything, any means to this church, for this church. If anyone caused or tried to harm this church, I would kill the president or stake my life upon this church or to protect the pastor.
My name is John Harris, and I'm a violent revolutionary, and I killed 3 children.
Your name?
Corrine Jackson. I would kill any government official that would stand in the way of our church progress. My address is P.O. Box 62, Redwood Valley, California.
Your name?
Armella Tardy.
Who?
Armella Tardy.
What would you do for this cause?
I would kill, murder, I'd do anything, you know.
Who?
Well, I'd kill Nixon, Ford, and anybody else like him.
All right. Okay, what's your name?
Mary of Canada.
Mary Canada?
Mary F.
Okay, Mary, what would you do for this cause?
I'd do anything that I can do.
What can you do? If somebody was threatening us and hurting this cause, what would you do to them?
I'd tell them to take me.
What else would you do?
I'd die for this family. If I had it to do.
You do what?
Kill the president.
Okay. What's your name?
Ada Richards.
Where do you live?
1719 15th Street.
Who would you kill?
I'd kill the president.
Okay, that's good. What's your name?
Letha May Pride.
Letha?
I'd murder, I'd steal, I'd do anything.
Who would you kill?
Anybody getting out of the way.
Give me a name. Who would you kill?
The president.
Who?
Ford.
Okay. Okay, what's your name?
Emil Latham.
Okay, where do you live?
Oakland, 1610 14th Street.
Okay, hon, what would you do for this cause?
Anything that I could.
What, like what?
Well, whatever it comes to.
Okay, what was your name?
Lorraine Davis.
Okay, Lorraine, what would you do for this family?
Well, I'd do whatever it takes for the family and for
what would you be for this family? If it became necessary, what would you be for this family?
Well, for father, I'd be, I mean,
say it. What would you be?
I'd say, well, whatever father says, if it's violent, I'd be violent. If father says.
What was your name?
My name is Valerie Versier.
Valerie, what would you do for this cause?
Well, I would be a revolutionary for the family and for father. I would be a violent revolutionary.
Thank you. What's your name?
Roberta White.
Where do you live, Roberta?
84 Rockdale Drive, San Francisco.
What would you do for this cause?
I would be a violent revolutionary. How do you understand?
What's your name?
Florine, F-L-O-R-I-N-E, D-Y-S-O-N, Florine Dyson.
Thank you. What would you do for this family?
Oh, I would give my life. This revolutionary that Jim Jones calls for.
What's your name, dear?
Leslie Alexander.
What are you?
I am a violent revolutionary.
What is your name?
Lily Deli.
Where do you live, Lily?
828 Athens Avenue.
What are you?
I am a violent revolutionary, and I will do anything for this cause.
What's your name?
Glory McMichael.
What are you, Glory?
I'm a violent revolutionary, and I'll do anything for this cause.
What's your name?
Viola Ford.
What are you, Viola?
A violent revolutionary.
What's your name?
Ruby East.
What are you, Ruby?
I'm a violent revolutionary.
What's your name?
Beatrice Hubbard.
What are you, Beatrice?
I am a revolution missionary.
Okay. What is your name?
My name is Blanche Cooper. I'm a violent revolutionary.
What is your name?
Wesley Walker.
What are you?
I'm a vile revolutionist.
What is your name?
My name is Marilyn Pursley. I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Jimmy Anderson, and I'm a violent revolutionary, and I'll kill for this cause.
What is your name?
Ulick Richmond Jr.
We don't have it.
What are you? I'm a violent revolutionary. I'll do anything for this cause.
What was your name?
My name is Bertha Bernita Richmond.
What are you?
I'm a violent revolutionary.
Your name?
Michelle Evans.
What are you?
I'm a violent revolutionary and I kill for this cause.
What's your name?
Michael.
Mike who?
Miles.
What are you, Mike?
I'm a violent revolutionary.
What's your name?
Willie Dandy.
What are you?
Violent revolutionary.
What is your name?
Gloria Rodriguez.
What are you?
I'm a violent revolutionary.
What's your name?
Janet Tupper.
Right.
Janet, what are you?
A violent revolutionary.
I'm Rita Tupper.
What are you?
A violent revolutionary.
I'm Phyllis Chaykin, a violent revolutionary.
My name is Mary Martin. I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Cassandra Minor, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
What was your name?
Enrita.
What are you, Enrita?
A violent revolution.
My name is Carol Kearns, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Mabel Davis, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Teresa King, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Magdalene Laws, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Pauline Groot, and I am a violent revolutionary.
My name is Christine Kies. I am a violent revolutionary.
No. What's your name, dear?
Arlene Watkins. I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Julian Webb, and I am a violent revolutionary. Don't put any date
on your. My name is Jackie White. I'm a violent revolutionary.
Pat Keeler. I am a violent revolutionary.
Violent revolutionary.
What is your name?
Miguel De Pina.
What are you, Miguel?
Thank you. A violent revolution.
What's your name?
Andrew Sims. Andrew Sims.
What are you?
Vibrant Revolution.
Your name?
Mace Briggs.
What are you, Mary?
Violent revolutionary.
Your name?
Barbara Hoyer. I am a violent revolutionary.
What's your name?
David, I'm a violent revolutionary.
What's your full name, David?
David J. Sweeney.
Marvin Wyman, I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Lisa Lewis, I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is David E. V. Smith, I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Bridget Baker, and I am a violent revolutionary.
What's your name?
Vanny Ryan.
Where do you live?
On Broderick.
Okay, what are you?
A violent revolutionary.
Your name?
Mary Rogers. And I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Harold Hill, and I am a violent revolutionary when the time is right.
My name is Eric Upshaw, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Barry Lewis. I'm a violent revolutionary.
Yes. My name is June Strain, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Joyce McIntyre, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
My name is Gail Simonton, and I am a violent revolutionary.
My name is Ankita Deli, and I am a violent revolutionary.
My name is Mark Sly, and I am a violent revolutionary. From the off
door. My name is Norman Marshall, and I'm a follower revolutionary.
My name is Norman Marshall, and I am a violent revolutionary.
I am Joanne Davis. I am a violent revolutionary. I have the ways and the means to do it.
Your name?
My name is Rebecca Flowers, and I'm a violent revolutionary.
fairness throughout that man. And I said to him, I said, well, Art, I don't think we can blame ourselves. We were fair and open and above board. And we have no apology for anything that we did. And he said, well, I know that, but what we should have done is organized ourselves to really try to push this thing through instead of just, you know, letting the opposition organize and not trying to respond to that. And I said, well, you know, I just don't see that being the Christian way. I'm not opposed to being organized, but I'm also not in favor of fear tactics, that kind of stuff. So, or getting into name-calling and that. I don't think that has any place in church. So. That's not a very healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll see where it comes. I think the impact of People's Temple will mean that that church will never be the same, as I say, after that vote. There is a lot of difference of opinion between people in that congregation and the group that was in favor of the merger. Of course, are people who are in favor of inclusiveness. The merger was defeated by people who are very much opposed to inclusiveness, who want to have their own little group and decide who can be in it, who can't, that sort of thing. So I don't know where it'll all end up. I think it's too early yet for people to have finally decided what it's all about.
Well, what was your attendance running before?
Our attendance is running 100. On a good Sunday.
And what
summer.
What did it run today?
Well, today it was back up again. It was, I didn't count or hear anybody that counted, but it was up again today. There's still a lot of enthusiasm. The group that opposed this was called on the carpet pretty clearly by Bill Reed and by myself, but Bill's been very clear about it. He said, you know, you folks are going to either have to put up or shut up I haven't seen it, but he says he's putting an article in the paper this week, in our church paper about it this week, saying, you know, hey folks, don't play that kind of game with us. You got to get off center and do things.
Yeah, after.
So the attendance was up today. The attendance was up like what you would expect it in the fall when everything's really going and that. Very good attendance today as far as our congregation is concerned. So. It'll be interesting to see whether that continues, that kind of thing.
Well, what about the leaders of the church?
I think they're pretty depressed right now. I think, in fairness, they're pretty depressed, J.R. That's my impression.
Well, that's been our concern because we sure didn't want to cause any division of any kind.
Right.
Did not mean it to come out a division at all.
I don't think you can accept any responsibility for their depression. The leadership was very pleased with what went on, and but as I say, it's I've only had one other experience my more than 10 years of work in a professional leadership position. When people get involved in the business of fear tactics and name calling kind of thing, and that. I think that's the church at its very worst, because I think that's what our world kind of thrives on, and I think that's contrary to the gospel, contrary to the way of faith. And Dan Parton was ringleader of this thing, and Dan's just, I really don't know about Dan. He's a real enigma to me. Dan just became more and more and more ruthless in this thing. And his wife, of course, loving every bit of it. Margaret's, the people tell me that if you had to live with her, that's the way I'd be too. But I don't know. I don't think that's an excuse for a grown man.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought it was Bill Reed that caused the problem, but if I remember correctly, it was Dan.
Oh, no, it was Dan. No, Bill worked and worked and worked. The fact that things are going well right now is really attributable to Bill. Bill's.
I just have my names confused.
Sure, no, I understand. And Bill's is the new chairman of the board. Bill's a super guy right now. Bill's got a capacity to help people laugh, and kind of chuckle at themselves, and the church sure needs that right now. Now there's some very angry people at Dan, but as I say, I'm proud that that none of those people have, you know, no one has chosen to be malicious in response to Dan. A lot of people have been very badly hurt, but it's been my position that I think it's not appropriate to respond in kind, because to respond to Dan the way he does is really destructive of personhood. I think it'll eat you up like a cancer. I think that's probably what's wrong with Dan. I think he's a man who's, you know, really possessed with some real troubles inside. I don't know what the story is.
But what's been his attitude since the vote?
Well, I think Dan's attitude is sort of pretty self-righteous about the whole thing, pretty pleased, and as I say, I think very, very self-righteous. I think that's kind of where he is on the thing. He portrays himself as a man who has really saved the church from despair and destruction. And as I say, the leadership is really very, you know, very unhappy, because Dan has not been a good leader at all through the years. He has muscled his way into leadership in various areas, but has not proven to be a good leader when he hasn't. There were people this week entertaining the thought of just putting pressure on Bill Reed to say, Bill, why don't you just resign and let Dan have the chairmanship? Because the fact is, if they turned the leadership over to this group, why, the thing would be dead in a matter of a couple of months. There's simply no stewards in the group. There are people in there who like to talk, but the gospel doesn't survive on talk. It takes people who are willing to put their money and their life on the line. So I don't know where that'll all come out. I'm still very, very concerned about whoever it was that called the Jim's place, such ugly remarks and that, and I've tried to kind of put that out of my mind.
We put that out of our mind. That wasn't even an issue with us.
Yeah.
We get a lot of these prank calls anyway. A week doesn't go by but we don't get them.
Sure.
Because being the kind of a group we are and having the kind of a leader we have, we do incur people's wrath along with the goodwill of many,
right?
Such as the newspapers and the Sun Reporter and the Tribune. And
right.
We're the only church, Harold, that has ever been written into the congressional record.
Yeah. Are you aware now that Ralph Rath is just very, very pleased about y'all? I don't know whether you ever saw the article. He wrote an article the week before this merger. It was in Wednesday, whatever that date, I don't have my calendar in front of me, before the 18th, there was an article in the Tribune that day with a picture of Bill and Art Gunn and myself, and a story about the fact that we were going to vote, and just mentioned People's Temple, but there was nothing about them. But Ralph really has an interest in People's Temple, and is just a beautiful person.
Would you give me the name again?
Yeah, Ralph Rath, R-A-T-H.
Ralph Rath.
He's the only religion writer in the whole Bay Area. He is with the Oakland Tribune. Ralph is a former Roman Catholic priest.
What did he have to say about us? I'm curious.
Well, he didn't say too much about People's Temple in the article. He just said, I think he described People's Temple as an innovative congregation. I think that's his sort of one-line description. But he spent over an hour talking with Bill and Art and I that Monday prior to that article, and was very, very hopeful that this thing would go through. He felt like it was the most exciting story that he'd run into he said it's the most exciting story he'd discovered since he'd been here.
Did he indicate that he knew anything about us?
Well, he apparently knows the name and that. He said to me, now, Ralph, I want you to be very careful about writing about People's Temple. I said, I'm not interested in nor capable of speaking for them. And so I said, whatever kind of story you write, I want you to understand that we're not going to be saying a lot about People's Temple. I said, you can, whatever you write about this church, that's fine. He said, I know about Lester Kinsolving.
He did.
He's a great big tall guy, and he just roared clear down to his shoes, and he said, Brooks, what's his name, the photographer that was with him, said, what are you laughing, what's that all about? He said, oh boy, he said, professional muckraker, he said, got a hold of Jim Jones, and he said, he's sort of taking it on, he knew the whole story. He knew the whole story. Because I was just standing there. All I'd ever talked with Ralph about was on the phone, and we've had him on our TV program and that, but he didn't know me as a person that well. But he knew the whole story about Ken Solomon.
Well, what did he say about it?
Oh, he said just exactly what you and I would say, that, he said it's just yellow journalism, and this guy makes his living by throwing mud on people and trying to destroy them, and he said one of his people that he's after is Jim Jones of People's Temple. And, Ralph's position was that if Kinsolving disliked him that much, he said it's bound to be a pretty good organization. So he was kind of... he knew the whole story about that. So I told him, I said, well, if you know about Kinsolving, then you can understand that People's Temple has had some pretty rough days with that kind of publicity, and that most of us just not real gung-ho to have that kind of things written about us. He said, you don't need to explain to me. He knew about that.
That's good.
But Ralph is a very interesting person in his own right, and I think, as I say, interested in People's Temple, and particularly interested in the whole kind of way in which People's Temple operates and that. So I would keep him in mind. He could be a good friend for you if you're ever interested in a tribute and that. But if you ever want a story about anything in the Bay Area and that in the Tribune, why, if you call Ralph and tell him you're from People's Temple and that, my hunch is he'll see to it that he gets some time free to talk with you.
That sounds good.
He wanted me to call him first thing Monday morning and tell him, and he was disappointed the vote went the way it did, because he was certainly hoping, because he said, well, I'd like to write more about People's Temple. And I said, look, Ralph, if the thing goes through, then you can write about People's Temple. You'll have them right here, and you'll have a real story to do. But I said, if you write about them now, and this thing hasn't gone through, then, we could be writing stuff that isn't the fact. So I said, if I were you, I'd hang loose, see if you have a story to do with after this vote goes through.
Well, that's appreciative. That was good that he didn't, because he could have had a story in it, and he didn't.
Sure. No, he's a good man. He's a man worth knowing, and he's interested in doing good stories and that, and is deeply committed to religion. His comment to us was, he was very appreciative. He said, I get people telling me to write stories about the churches and that. He said, the fact is, there aren't that many churches in the downtown area that are doing anything worth me writing a story about. So of course, that's been my position. I've been talking that to my brothers there for several years now, saying, you got to do something more than have a bake sale to think it's newsworthy. That isn't going to get the world's attention anymore. The world is going to hell on an intercontinental ballistic missile, and the church, ought to be in the middle of that, saying something about how it's going and doing something about it as well, so the world can understand.
How did the people that were there the Sunday morning Jim was, how did they react to him?
Oh, I think that was very, very favorable. The people who were opposed to him, of course, were not, frankly, they didn't even spend their time listening. That's a fair statement. I think that the handful of people who were opposed to him didn't take time to listen to what he had to say. They couldn't afford to really hear what he said, because I think if they would really hear what he said, it would be, I think that's, if you really listen, to listen means to submit to influence. So if you really listen to somebody like that, you may have to do some new thinking about where you're coming from. But Jim was unbelievably candid and frank in his approach, and straightforward, and not evasive in any way. And, we had a number of people who were on the fence until that day who said, "Wow, heck, it's not hard for me to make up my mind. I know what I'm going to vote next week." So, so I think people who were legitimately hanging on the fence.